Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
The Lord be with you. Proclamation from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to the crowd, "No one who lights a lamp conceals it with a vessel or sets it under a bed. Rather, they put it on a lampstand so that all who enter may see the light. For there's nothing hidden that will not become visible, nothing secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear. To anyone who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what they seem to have will be taken away." The Gospel of the Lord. Okay, I want to talk about love this morning because love was, we're talking about the year, the Jubilee year of Paul the Apostle. And if you read Paul's writings, of course, the scriptures, you'll see that love was one of his basic themes. And of course, 1 Corinthians 13 is that beautiful, almost like a poem or a hymn that many people choose for their wedding. Love is patient, love is kind, love isn't rude, you know, love doesn't put on airs, that whole thing. So I wanted to talk about love this morning, and hopefully we'll become more loving people. And I found a little joke that I thought I'd share with you. There was a widow and a widower, and they knew each other for a couple years. They were pretty elderly. And finally, at the parish picnic, kind of like what we had yesterday, they were sitting together at the same table, and the man asked the woman to marry him. And she thought for a little bit, and then she finally said, "Yes. With all my heart, I'll do it." So then the next morning he wakes up and he was really troubled because he couldn't remember whether or not she said yes or no. So he gave her a call and he says to her, "You know, I'm really sorry to say this, but I forgot what you said." She said, "Oh, I said yes with all my heart." And he said, well, thank you so much. And she said, "I am so glad you called. I'll tell you why. I couldn't remember who asked me." Anyway, so Paul said that the greatest of these is love, and he talked about how love lasts forever, faith, hope, and love, remember, 1 Corinthians 13, but love lasts forever. So I wanted to talk about love because it's really the heart of our religion, it's the heart of Catholicism, it's the heart of who we are, but oftentimes we don't really hear about it. You know, we hear about it in the culture, with movies and songs and all kinds of different things. But sometimes we don't really hear a good explanation about what love is. I wanted to begin or continue by saying that, first of all, I recognize your experience. Many of you are married, you have children, you have loved. Some of you have gone through a divorce, you've been separated, widowed, widowers, and you've felt the pain of love. Others of you, and some of the same of you, are involved here in the church. For example, I give you kudos for the parish picnic yesterday. When I went there, and I hardly had to do anything but eat the good food, but many people were working inside to make that happen. You know, the food, the cleanup, and everything. And that's part of love, the service and doing things. And many of you are involved here in the church. In all kinds of different roles, and I think that's beautiful. In some ways, you're the cream of the crop coming here. And so first of all, as I begin, I'm not saying that you're not a loving people. I think you are. I just want to help to move you further and to identify even further what love is all about. So you're married, you've had children, you've gone through some painful things, you've given in service. So first of all, I just want to recognize your experience and that probably some of you are a lot more loving than I am. And really, love, to me, is the meaning of life. And when we come to a mission, we have to understand, we've got to get back to the basics. You know, what is our religion? What is our faith all about? And it's the meaning of our existence to love. This is what God calls us to. And, you know, psychologists will tell us, what is it? And, you know, we'll all ask, what is it? And, you know, is it a feeling? I don't know if I love because I don't feel toward people. Well, psychologists will tell us, of course, we've all heard this, that it's a choice. It's a decision. For example, we all have people that we struggle with, that we have I call it an aversion to. They can be difficult. They're difficult personalities. They're hard to get along with. I have them in community. You have them, you know, in your life too. And it's a decision to accept those people as they are, not to try to change them, because you probably can't, but really to accept them as they are, and that's, you know, what people need, unconditional love, and to forgive them, because we all get hurt by people. And forgiveness isn't a feeling. You know, you don't just say, boy, I feel like forgiving today. No, you're never going to feel like forgiving. It's always hard. It's a decision that you make with God's help to say, you know what, they've hurt me, I don't like them, I don't like the way they are, but I forgive them. And that's part of love. It's a decision that you make. It's not a feeling, so don't confuse it. Now, in the beginning of your marriage, it is a feeling. You know, you're like, oh, you know, whenever he comes in the room, I get goosebumps. Or whenever, you know, I see him, I get breathless or something. Well, that fades pretty quick. You know, then you're stuck with not emotion, but with choice. So that's really important. But I want to go a little bit further. In addition to choice, love really is action. It is behavior. It's energy. And I'd like to say that right now I'm loving you because I'm up here in front of you. I'm giving you some energy. I'm giving you some action, some behavior. I flew here all the way from Houston, you know, and drove all the way from Portland. And it's because really I want to share the gospel with you. I want to love you. I don't know you all individually. Many of you are listening by CD right now, and I don't even know who you are exactly. But I'm loving you by doing this. And this is the way I love, by preaching. It's energy, it's action, it's behavior. You've got to understand that. I read a book by a psychologist named Gary Chapman. And he talked about the languages of love. He called them the five love languages. And they all have to do with behavior because, you know, you might be wondering, am I a loving person? Because you ought to ask yourself that because as you grow older, this is what really matters. Are you becoming? Are you loving? Are you forgiving? Are you behaving properly? This is really important. And, you know, as I grow older, I want to become. I want to become the best person I can become. And that's what our call is. It's all about love. So anyway, Gary Chapman's book, he talks about the five love languages, and he talks about how we express and show love. And he breaks it down into five different areas, and he says everybody really basically has one or two of these areas. Some people show love in all five of the areas, but most people show it in one or two of these different areas. But the key is that you show it. And before I go on, if you're married to somebody, oftentimes your spouse doesn't speak the same love language that you do. For example, you may show love by speaking words of, honey, I love you, or you're great, or I appreciate you. And he never says that. But maybe he'll buy you flowers. That's the way he appreciates it, or that's the way he shows love, by giving gifts. So there's five different areas, and let me just go on and tell you what they are. First of all, physical touch. You look at teenagers, you know, they're walking, they're falling in love, they're always holding hands, they got their arms around each other, who knows what else they're doing, you know, physical touch is real important. And it's important for all of us. Do you know that people are starved for touch? Especially elderly people, widowed people, people that are separated, nobody touches them, and it's really hard. And I think that one of the most beautiful things that you can do for your children, you know, of course, in appropriate ways, is to touch them, to hug them, give them a kiss. They say that, you know, if you're at a restaurant and, you know, you're ordering food or something, the waitress, actually, they've done a study. Waitresses that come up and they put their arm, their hand on your shoulder, they get bigger tips. Same with doctors. You know, doctors that kind of encourage you and they put their hand on your knee or something, say, you're going to do it, you're going to get better. That actually helps you to get better. It's that little touch. Of course, Jesus was touching people all the time and healing. If you were to take an infrared of me, you'd see like an aura all around my hands. my head. It's that healing energy, the power of touch. I wrote a book called He Touched Me, and I talk about how important touch is. But let me continue. I've got a lot to say. I want to tell you about Mother Teresa. I was at her beatification about 3-4 years ago. Of course, this woman, she personified love, as we know. She reached out to the poorest of the poor in India, founded the Sisters of Charity, the Sisters of Love. And Mother Teresa, of course, at this beatification, when I was there in Rome, it was in October, about 3-4 years ago. I mean, the whole of St. Peter's Square was full of people. And it went all the way back to the Tiber River. There must have been 500,000 people there, or a million people, I don't even know. All for this little crumpled up old lady, you know, wrinkled and everything. It's because she loved. And there was a story in one of her books told about this, about the power of touch. And apparently this man came into one of her homes for the sick and the dying. And, you know, he was in there, and I guess he was full of anger and bitterness and doubt and everything. And he came in, and just at that moment, they brought in a man from the streets who was covered with worms, and he was just about to die. And he watched Mother Teresa go over to this man, and she gently washed him and cleaned his wounds and touched him and blessed him in a very profound way. And the man went up to Mother Teresa later, and he says, "Mother, I have to tell you something. I came in here. I was so angry and so bitter, and I doubted the existence of God. But when you touched that wretched man, I saw God's love, and now I'm a believer, just because of your touch." See, there's great power in touch. Don't underestimate that. And that's one of the love languages. That's how you love people. I remember, you know, when I first was ordained a priest, you know, the sign of peace, for example, I go to shake hands, and they go, "Oh, I'm not going to shake your hands. I want to give you a hug," you know, and I could never know whether to give a person a hug or to shake their hand. Some people, you want to shake their hand, they want to give you a hug. Other people, you go to hug them, and they just go like that. So you don't want to invade their space. But notice, even at the sign of peace, we have that touch, because our church instinctively knows. We call it the kiss of peace. Our church instinctively knows that we need touch. My mom is 84 years old. She lives in Florida. She's widowed now. My dad died about 10 years ago, 8 years ago. And I can't be with her all the time. I get to visit her probably 3-4 times a year. I go down to Florida, spend some time with her. But, you know, I love her a lot, and I want to be with her, but I can't. So one of the ways that I love her, you ever hear AT&T reach out and touch someone? I call her. I call her every other day. She just had a bout with sciatica, so I called her every day. And, you know, I'm giving my time, my energy. I'm touching her through a telephone. You don't have to actually be there to touch. You can do it through emails. You can do it through the telephone, you know, in other ways. Write letters, however you do it. But that's one of the love languages, touching. And it's so important. Now, maybe you married somebody that isn't really into touch. It's not his love language. Well, then you have to cut him a little slack or her a little slack and realize that, well, maybe they can grow in that area, but that's not the way they show it. And just because you show love in one area, this is part of this homily, doesn't mean that everybody shows love in that area. And that's what you have to understand. Doesn't mean that they don't love, it means that they love in different ways. In other words, for example, another way, now the first one is touch. Secondly, really quickly, words of affirmation. You know how many marriages separate and many divorces happen because people don't feel appreciated. You know, the man works, oftentimes stereotypically, the woman stays at home, and, you know, neither knows exactly what the other is doing, you know, whether it be taking care of the kids or how hard it is at work. And when you don't affirm each other or support each other or encourage each other with your words, then you'll feel like you're not appreciated. And that's one of the hardest things in life, when you don't feel appreciated by the one that you've committed yourself to, or for me, in my community, the people that I live with, then it can be tremendously hard. And you can start to think to yourself, you know, I don't want to be around these people, or I don't want to be around this person. Well, really quickly, words of affirmation are very important. You can build each other up. You can say, "I love you." That's a love language for some people, just saying, "I love you." Other people don't have that language. They weren't brought up with that. I know in my family, Oftentimes I'll hear people talking on the phone, and at the end, you know, they're talking to their son and daughter. I love you, goodbye, you know. We never said that, but my parents loved me in other ways. And we didn't so much say it, you know, it was an action. I'll get to that in a minute. But let me just tell you about words of affirmation really quickly. I've had a lot of words of affirmation in my life from other people that have supported me, that have really, really helped me. And I know you've probably had some too. And just to tell you really quickly, Jim and Janice here and Jim live in Portland, Oregon. I met them down in California when I was just ordained. I gave a mission in their parish in Chico, which is just north of Sacramento. And I remember when I first met them and they heard my preaching, they said, you should tape your talks. You know, you should have these so other people can get them. And I said, no, I don't want to do all that, tape my talks. And in the back of my mind, I was thinking, if they only knew, I only had 6 talks. And they're wanting me to tape all these talks, and I only got 6 of them, then what am I going to do? You know, and they're thinking, oh, you know, we'll tape all these talks, and you'll have hundreds of them and everything. I don't have that many talks, and I'm really shy and everything, and scared and fearful. And I remember what Janice said. Janice is sitting right there. I told her one time, I said, Janice, I only have 6 talks. We're not going to tape these talks because that's all I have. I'm real safe. I like the ones I have. That's it. She looked at me and she said, Father Cedric, there is more in you than 6 talks. You've got a lot in you. And I never forgot that. That touched me. So, you know what? 12 books later, many TV programs later, all kinds of talks later. This is a new talk, by the way. All this week, it's all new. I'm trying to prove you right. And just to let you know how much that meant to me when you said that. See, that's the way she loves and other people love. It's words of affirmation. I try to be that way too. I always say thank you. You know, I always try to appreciate people. That's really important. But some people don't speak that way. You know, they weren't brought up that way. So maybe they have other ways of showing it. Like I said, my parents, for example, never really say I love you, but they show it. I know they did. I know they love me. Because, for example, my mom would always take care of me. She'd always do my wash, the dishes, clean my room. She enabled me that way. You know, I became spoiled, but she still does it. I mean, just to go home, I mean, it's wonderful. Even though she's 84 and it's hard for her to get around, she's a mom to me, and she's really good. And then my dad, really quickly, he earned a living as a carpenter. You know, he put bread on the table, and we never wanted for anything. And I knew that was his way of loving us by working hard. And let me just tell you that my last memory of my dad, he went to a mission with me, he and my mom, that I was preaching in Hartford, Connecticut, way back in the year 2000. And at that time, I think I had one book, Live Passionately was my first book, and I had like one or two tape series. And we would set up a table in the back, like we're doing here, and, you know, he was the one that did it for me. We set up the table, and you know, he came to that mission. He put all the teachings on the... It was Sunday night, I'll never forget it, and he did that for me, and then he went home to the monastery where he was staying. I was putting him up in our monastery there, he and my mom. And we said goodbye, and then that night, without any warning, he died in his sleep. He had a heart attack or a stroke, we're not quite sure. But 76 years old, he died. That's the last I ever saw. Now, the last memory I have of my dad was setting up that table for me, supporting me, encouraging me. See, that was his love language. He was a servant. He helped. He did actions. And I could see that. You know, that's part of appreciating. We all have different languages, but you got to appreciate the language that your spouse or your people have. They might not say it, but they'll do it. Hopefully, if they're a loving person. So acts of service, that's what I'm talking about. That's the third one. Remember, touch, words of affirmation, acts of service is very important. I just gave you all kinds of compliments about what you did at the picnic yesterday. Those of you who are involved in the parish, you know, whether you're ushers or servers or, you know, Eucharistic ministers or DREs or whatever you're doing, you're doing that, you're motivated by that, hopefully, not for people to compliment you or notice you, but really because you want to serve people and God, you want to love. And this is the way you do it. I struggled with motivations, with getting on TV. Now I have TV programs all across the United States. As I said, I'm not here in Oregon yet, but I've got them in major cities in the East and in the South, including Houston coming up. And I struggle with motivations. Am I just trying to be known? Am I trying to be this big priest? And it's really not that. I am trying to reach out to people. I really want to love them. I want them to have eternal life. I want them to know Jesus in a personal way. And this is the medium I'm trying to do it. So, you know, we look at our motivations. You might be thinking, well, I don't want to get involved because, you know, I don't know if I just want people to thank me or like me and all that. Just do it. Get involved. Acts of service. That's what we're all about as Christians. And let me continue really quickly. The fourth love language is quality time. It's just simply spending quality time with somebody. I'm not talking about sitting with your wife or husband in front of the TV watching a football game. I'm talking about turning all that off and just spending quality time. For example, real quick, we have a community member back where I live. He doesn't come to prayer a lot, and he doesn't come to Mass a lot. You know, there's seven of us in our monastery in Houston. But what he does is, whenever we have like an occasion like Labor Day or Thanksgiving or Christmas, he always puts on this big meal. And he's the one that cooks. He loves to be in charge of it because to him, meals are quality time where we all sit around and we talk, you know, we celebrate, we enjoy. The other thing that he does, whenever we have a community meeting, he demands that we have community meetings so that we can all come together, you know, look at each other, talk about the things that really matter. For him, that's his love language, you know, quality time. And I can tell you all about, you know, my mom and dad, I don't want to aggrandize them, and the time that they spent with me, anytime I ever needed them, that's so important, quality time. And really quickly, how you want to love God. This, I'm talking about relationships right now, but you can, this all spills over into, how do you love God? Give him quality time. Speak words of affirmation. For example, that's what worship is. That's what praise is. That's what Eucharist is. Thanksgiving. We're saying, thank you, God. And do you ever in your prayer, do you ever say, Lord, I love you? Don't be afraid to tell God you love him, no matter how it feels. Just say it all the time. I love you, Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit. That's how you love. Words of affirmation. It's really important. Then lastly, give gifts. This is the way many people are. For example, I'm not real good on birthdays and anniversaries. Some people are. You know, when it's your birthday, you'll get a card in the mail. It's like, oh, I never remember their birthday, and I'm getting a card from them. Because that's the way that they love. They remember, they give gifts. They remember, they do anniversaries and that type of thing. I preached a mission in Syracuse, New York, way back, only time I've ever been to Syracuse. It was way back in like 1992. Every Christmas, I still get a little package from this one woman with all kinds of different gifts in it. I don't even remember what she looked like or who she is, but that's the way she shows appreciation. That's the way she loves. She gives gifts. Remember John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So that's one of the love languages, giving. So really quickly, just to go over them really quickly, it's physical touch. This is the way some people love. Words of affirmation, acts of service, quality time, giver of gifts. But the key is that you give and that you love. No matter what your call is, no matter what your walk of life, this is the meaning of life, that we become a loving person. And what do you want on your tombstone? You know, I go to many different funerals and you know, they always tell everything that the person did and what they did and what their job was and all that. And on my tombstone, I just want Father Cedric loved. And that's what it's all about. So, you know, we're here on a mission. I know this is a little serious, but think about your own love languages. And think about your wife or your husband's love languages. And where do you need to grow? And maybe they're loving you when you didn't know it. It's just a different language. And sometimes we don't all have the same language, you know, of these five things. And again, remember, forgiveness is a part of this too. When I talk about giving, when you got those hard times, make that decision to forgive. And you can do it with God's help. So love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't put on airs. It doesn't brood. And it lasts forever. God's call to us is to love. And I want to leave you with a phrase that I love. Who you are is God's gift to you, but who you become is your gift to God. And I pray that you'll become a person of love. May Almighty God bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thanks for listening. Appreciate that. Let's stand and we'll pray. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you loved us so much that you gave us Jesus, and that's why we gather around to give you praise and thanks and worship. And I pray for all your good people that we would grow in love and become people of love, especially to the ones closest to us, but also we'll reach out to the wider community and let our light shine. For this we pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. And I want to thank you for all the people who are involved here at St. Mary's in any way, especially for the pastor, Father David, as he travels to Portland today. Bless him. And may you make their service fruitful. For this we pray to the Lord. We also want to remember the wider community who's struggling right now with Houston, for example, and all the efforts that are going on there, all the people who are serving, people who have come from as far away as Oregon to help down there. We pray for them and for all the hardships for people who lost their lives. For this we pray to the Lord.
Lord,
we're going through tough economic times, as you know. We pray that the market will rebound. We pray that young people will come to know Jesus. We pray for our leaders during this political season, that the right people will be elected. For this we pray to the Lord.
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live. Live with passion.